And I shall pray. You, Father, who sees our hearts and hears our words, may what we share in how we hear be acceptable in your sight, and may your Holy Spirit bring revelation of who Jesus is, our bread of life. Amen. This is a two-part series. This is the second from last Sunday. And last week we looked at how people can confuse Jesus' metaphors as actual facts, and so doctrine can be built on such misconceptions. Many people balk on Christian faith because Jesus calls us to eat of his flesh. From verse 35 on right through to 59, he talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Different Christian religions still contend over what this means. Complicated doctrine can tie us up in knots and bog our faith down. We must remember that Jesus' gospel is for everyone and not just for the theologians. Therefore, the gospel must be grasped as equally by a child as it should be for an adult, or we are all in a lot of trouble. In every aspect of faith, when Jesus used a physical metaphor, through this, he focused on aspects of spiritual life, the kingdom of God, and his divinity. We see in John 6, Jesus identifies himself as the bread of heaven. He clarifies that the bread he means is not something like manna or actual food, which was only food for the stomach and dissolves at day's end. That manna, though from God's provision, was not for the soul. Jesus expresses himself as the real flesh and blood, the bread of life, and that is for the soul and is eternal. Through his humanity, he took on himself all that harbours spiritual death. Therefore, through his divinity, we gain a spiritual life that is a life worth living. In verse 51, he then connects bread with flesh. Here he is specifically speaking about his death on the cross and the salvation this will bring us. Though divine, as a man of flesh, he must first be broken physically and die. This death broke the curse of death upon us. Through his divinity and through God's insurmountable love for us, the curse of sin, death, was put upon Jesus. Through Jesus, God was able to take this curse upon himself so that he could destroy it. And let us not forget that Jesus is also God incarnate. Now, if our bodies can digest food we eat, cannot digest the food we eat, we die. And food must become part of our life, blood, and permeate our system. So when we come to Christ and believe, as he says in this reading, this acceptance of Christ means that the love of God permeates our whole being, even to the joints and marrow of our soul and spirit. And that comes from Hebrews 4, verse 2. Unless God does this, we have no life in us. Thus, the metaphor of Jesus' flesh and blood being the only true food emphasizes that only through him we are spiritually fed. This is why through Jesus we have the opportunity to be united with God so that his likeness is restored within our souls. This is the sustenance that God had made for us. New life in him that begins when we come to him and he comes into our lives. So with God in our lives, we enter into a communion with Christ Jesus, and a communion that fills us up with his Spirit. The Holy Spirit then opens the way for us to have a true relationship with God. This is the true meaning of communion. Nothing we can do tangibly or sacramentally will bring this spiritual nourishment. Without living out our faith in Jesus continually, it is impossible to receive from God. Coming to Him and believing is His key. God has done the work. All He asks us to do is to believe. This means we come to Him in trust. Even if we do not know the dynamics, and I'll explain it this way. A mechanic can tell you how a car actually works and moves, but the majority of us have no idea how a car actually works. Yet we can still get in a car and drive it. Thus so is the magnificent grace of God, that He doesn't require us to be a theologian to be saved. He accepts our trust in Him, and we call this belief. And as a footnote, but reading up on the Holy Mechanic's Manual does help us understand many aspects of our journey of faith. That's the Bible, if you didn't get that. Still, our trust is that Jesus died for our sins, that His Spirit is now in us, and He is our resurrected life. And our trust is that we are now citizens of God's kingdom and members of His church. How He meets us in the midst of our belief is His business. But I can say this. If we take those steps of trust, then it opens our souls for God to work. The Holy Spirit actually begins to transform us, cleansing and healing and bringing us to reflect the nature of Himself through us, despite ourselves. Therefore, the bread of life that we consume by faith is all the more real, and the proof of Himself is that He is seen in our own personalities. Isn't that precious? That God Himself wants to shine through our own personalities. So when people look at us and see us, what they see is the Spirit of God shining through us. And that speaks of Him and His bread within us. So the communion we have is a celebration of all that God has done for us through Jesus, our bread of life. And the communion table, at the communion table, what is important is the faith and belief in our hearts. It's easy to go to church and have communion when we live in a city. But what of those who are isolated and may not be able to have communion? Are they less important in God's eyes? God values the heart that hungers and thirsts for Him. What is important is that we come and believe in all that He has done for us, and with Him partake in this grace. And in this is our communion with God. When we do have communion, we symbolically break bread. In fact, the bread Jesus used in the Passover feast was unleavened bread. Leavened bread with yeast, was used by Jesus as a metaphor of a life that was fat with sin. In Exodus, the Israelites ate unleavened bread because to remember that not only that they were redeemed from Egypt, but that Israel was separated from all the other nations. They were God's chosen people. And Jesus takes the unleavened bread and breaks it and offers it to the disciples and says, "This is my body broken for you." In this we see the divine man. We see the cross. We see His death. And He says, "Take it, eat it, and do this and remember me." meaning remember who Jesus is, our perfect and divine Saviour, who brings us life. In that room at Passover feast, he symbolically showed his disciples what he was about to do for them. And in John 6:51, even for the whole world, he says. In eating the bread, we are symbolically taking in the perfect spiritual nourishment God has provided for us. A life of living his impartation and his salvation, which will never end. And Jesus is saying to us, we are his redeemed and we are his chosen people. When our hearts are hungry for God, we are drawn to him. And through Christ, we are thus fed by him. This is all we really need to know. Now I will conclude by putting all I have said into an uncomplicated nutshell. And you may have heard of this before, and it goes like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let us pray. Dear God, we come to you, sustainer of our hearts and souls. You provided us bread from heaven and gave us the very life that feeds us from sin and death, frees us from sin and death. May our faith grow strong in your spirit as we trust in your word, believing in the gift of our salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.